Hallelujah. What a Savior. We'll invite our children to go ahead and go to Children's Church if they'd like to do that. You're welcome to go. While they're going, I'll just remind you of a few things that we want to be aware of in our schedule. And ladies, brand new Bible study. And the name of the book again, Connie? God is Able. Do we need that message? Yes, we do. Ladies, brand new study beginning this Tuesday. Yes, 2 days from today, 1 p.m. here at the church. And if you have questions, you can see Connie or Cheryl or one of the other ladies that might be a part of that, and they will get you any information that you need. Then, not next Sunday, I don't believe, that next Sunday is the 12th, the 19th, so 2 weeks from today, a family potluck dinner here in the fellowship hall, and then we invite you to come back for a combined worship service with the Northland Global Methodist Church and us. We'll be meeting together to give thanks, to acknowledge God. And that will be right here in our sanctuary. We'll be hosting it this year. That will be at 6 p.m. So a great day coming on November the 19th, and hope you can be a part of that. We offer our condolences to Kelly and to her family in the loss of her mom this week. And we know that God is with you. We know that God has redeemed her. And so in the midst of sorrow, there's also rejoicing in the presence of God. And there will be a memorial service next Saturday here in the sanctuary at 1 o'clock. So if you'd like to attend that service, you are welcome to. Terry, you have something you want to share that's heavy on your mind? I promise I didn't do it. Okay, let's practice. Take our fingers, hit run. We got it. Okay, good. Now, in case you're not aware, between the basement rooms and all of the upstairs areas, there's like 50 thermostats in this building. So whichever one you tamper with at any given time, just remember to do that. That's helpful. Saves on our bills to make sure that's turned down when we're not in use. All right. Any other pertinent announcements? Bob? Right. Fantastic. Wonderful. Yes, great. It's a great work out there in the senior center. I think it's called McCosta County Commission on... Okay. And Dorothy's daughter is the head honcho out there. So, yeah. We're glad for her service and what they have to offer. On the table out there, right? Great. Any other pertinent announcements this morning? Okay. Yes, Linda? All right. Linda? Absolutely. As we provide a dinner for all those a part of Callie's mom's service, you can participate. See Linda. Very good. Very good. Y'all doing okay? Yeah. You're looking good today. Thank you. I was waiting for that. So in case you're wondering, I'd had my last chemo. That was a week and a half or so of recovering from that. But I'm on the upswing now, so strength is beginning to come back. I have a CAT scan on the 20th, and they'll determine how things are looking in there, and I anticipate that all is going to be well. And then from there, we'll see what they say I need to do, you know. I'm just so... Your prayers, I'm telling you right now, your prayers mattered, and they still matter. And now all is looking toward good days, so we're happy about that. I'll keep you updated. So how you doing on your treatments? Okay. One more treatment for... Right. Okay, good. You've been sustaining them well. Yes. There are other needs in your bulletin. Those that have specific things on the fly sheet of the tear-off sheet in your bulletin are several prayer requests. And we're going to take a few moments this morning to lift those up. Any other things that you'd like us to, just the people to remember? Joy? Bless you. So Joy has been on our prayer list, and here she is already making her recovery. Rachel's been on our prayer list. Where's Rachel? There you are. You know, when people keep switching seats on me, it really throws me off. I just want you to know that. Sometimes you're back there, sometimes you're... Anyway, Rachel, I'm just kidding. Rachel's been on our prayer list and was determined you were going to make it today. Still got some recovery to do. But welcome back, and glad, and we know God's been with you. Other praises? Jim? Praise the Lord. Yes. Yes. Let's pray together. Father, we all have needs. We have issues. And we're going to bring those to you, Lord. But first, we just want to say praise your holy name. For you're worthy of our worship. You're worthy of us acknowledging you. You are good in every aspect of your being. And we just thank you and praise you and acknowledge you for loving us and holding us and carrying us at times, and for the hope and the promises that you have provided for those who will trust in you. We give you all praise. Now, Lord, we lift up those that we have already mentioned that have been having physical needs, and others in our bulletin here who have physical needs. You see them just as I'm looking at them, Lord, and our people are looking at them. You see them. We lift up those here, Rachel and Joy. We lift up the Jensens. We lift up Violet's mom and the friend of Grayson Froman, the friend of the Anderson's grandson. We lift that up to you. We lift up Nancy's brother. We ask you for Nate and my continued well-being. All those who are having physical needs, we're praying that your grace will be sufficient and that your healing will be evident. We commit this into your hands, O God, believing that you hold all authority and power over our bodies. So we place this in your care. Lord, we also pray for the Powell family, that your presence would be very real and very loud in their presence. As many of the family don't know you and have not embraced you, this is a time for them to again consider how frail life is, how short life is, and how important eternal life is. So work in their midst and bring comfort and bring help during this time of loss is our prayer. Lord, there are hidden quiet things within our lives that hold great influence over us. Sometimes it's negative, sometimes it's good, but a lot of those influences of the world and those cares of the flesh influence us in a negative way. And that's, Lord, why it's so important that you said to us, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. So I pray you'll help all of us in those secret, quiet places of our hearts that are hurting, that are despairing, that are wondering, that are wandering. Help us, O God, to fix our eyes on Jesus. I pray that you will bless your church in this place. I pray that you will help us to grow abundantly in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that others will be drawn in to find the peace and the hope that they are looking for, and that we will be faithful stewards of taking care of one another. Lord, it takes extra intentions, takes extra effort to actually take care of one another. So help us to be mindful of that. Show us where to serve. Help us to know how to bless others. Help us to know when we should pick up the phone and call someone. Help us to know when we should send them a note or a card in the mail. Help us to know when we should just check up and see how they're doing. Maybe offer a prayer up. Whatever it is that you want us to do, Lord, remind us each day of everything that you want us to participate in. And may your body in this place become strong and effective for the kingdom of God, I pray. Now, Lord, would you teach us from your word? Teach us who you are. Teach us what you desire. And help us to find places to be obedient to you, that we might lift you up. Through Christ our Lord we come, Father. Amen. Amen. God has given his people many, many promises throughout his word. In fact, if you were to search through the Bible, I'm confident that you would run across hundreds of promises that God has made. Some of these promises are to individuals. Some of the promises were made to certain groups and certain situations of people, while others were made for everyone that calls upon his name. In our new series called Priceless Promises, we're going to focus on promises that God, especially today, that God has given specifically to those who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. In other words, these aren't just generic promises that are offered to just anyone. You know, the world, have you noticed that the world out there, though they know very little about God or very little about the Bible, want to think that all the promises in there are for them? Without any commitment, without any loyalty to Christ, without any trust in Christ, without, you know, most of the promises of the Word are given to those who will receive the promise. Believe in Jesus. Live for God. And that's the ones we're going to be talking about. The good news is, for those of you who are not yet in a relationship with Him, once you do come into that relationship with Christ, that obedience, that trust in Christ, all of the promises that He gives can apply to your life too. So, they're available to all who will embrace Him. One time, Jesus was explaining to a group of people the relationship that He had with His Father in heaven. And while He was doing that, He gave some priceless promises. So I want you to turn in your Bibles, or you can watch. I don't know if we have it on the screen today or not. But we're going to go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Jesus is talking to a group. Now let me just tell you what just happened. What is this conversation that He's having with these people based on? Jesus did a no-no. He healed a man on the wrong day of the week. Now, do you think that there's a wrong day of the week to love on somebody? No, that's what Jesus is thinking. He's like, isn't the Sabbath? Because they had a lot of laws about the Sabbath. Don't. And in the essence of how Jesus envisions the Sabbath is, yeah, it's a day of worship, it's a day of rest, it's a day of honoring God. And to honor God, we're going to have to love on some people. And so He came upon this man who needed healing, and He had compassion on him, and He healed him on the best day of the week. But the lawgivers were not happy people. They didn't like Him to begin with. And now here He is doing something that they considered working on the Sabbath. So this conversation, these words of Jesus are following that event. And at verse 16, He says this. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted Him. And Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at His work. My Father is always at His work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, the Jews tried to all the harder to kill Him. But not only was He breaking the Sabbath, He was even calling God His own Father, making Himself equal with God." Now they're really stewed. Jesus gave them this answer. "I tell you the truth." Ooh, I like it already. "The Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all He does. Yes, to your amazement, He will show Him even greater things than these." Hey, Pharisees, Sadducees, you got your eyes open yet? Because greater things than this are coming. Verse 21, "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom He is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears My word and believes Him who sent Me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted to the Son to have life in Himself, and He has given Him authority to judge because He is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, For a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. And those who have done good will rise to live. And those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Now, if I'd have been one of the Pharisees or the Sadducees, I think I would have just been standing there in complete silence with my jaw on the ground. Almost to the point, I think, of saying, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. But in their cocky, self-righteous ways and thoughts and deeds, they went their way all the more eager to kill him. Strange, isn't it? Odd. Jesus here is expressing the fact that if you believe in the Son, you are honoring the Father, and the Father has ordained eternal life for those who do. He's presenting a promise of a gift for all those who would embrace him. Priceless promise. And Jesus said, I think, three times in that passage, he said this, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. And he said, this is something, this thing of having eternal life in Christ, in me, that the Father has ordained, is something that is the truth. In other words, you can take this to the bank. It has God's signature all over it. And you can trust in the promise that I'm giving you today because it's the truth. So let's look together at some aspects of this promise that he's given, especially as noted in verse 24. Jesus said this, said that his promise is to those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me. Those who hear his voice and those who obey his voice, this is a promise for you. You shall live. That's life with capital L, capital I, capital F, capital E. Life. A number of years ago, there was a rock band called Oasis. Do any of you remember that? Some of you older ones are shaking your heads. Yeah. And Oasis came out with a song. It was called Live Forever. Here's some of the lyrics that went to it. Maybe I will never be all the things that I want to be, but now is not the time to cry. Now's the time to find out why. I think you're the same as me. We see things they'll never see. You and I are going to live forever. We're going to live forever. We're going to live forever. Live forever. Live forever. You know how they repeat themselves. You and I are going to live forever. Well, one of two things are happening in that song. One is Oasis is being very presumptuous that they've got a handle on living forever. And they think that's coming. Or they realize there's something beyond right now. There's something beyond. Now, they're meaning this kind of in a romantic notion. But those of us who are believers in Christ base the fact that our eternal life is on the objective basis of Jesus' promise. Not on a wish or a whim or a romantic notion. But it's actually living forever is a promise of God. Now, I'm not promising you eternal life. The government is not promising you eternal life. The songwriters are not promising you eternal life. Your employer is not. Some guy on the internet in a chat room is not. The promise comes from the very lips of God in human flesh. That changes everything. And Jesus says that if you will open up your heart to Him, then He will give you a promise beyond your wildest imagination. And I want to tell you something. Life in Christ that is eternal is beyond our wildest imagination. So, not only do we have His presence to help us and guide us and strengthen us and encourage us and lift us right now, we have the promise. Kids are happy. We have the promise that in eternity it will be absolutely unimaginable. Priceless promise. Woo! Yeah! If you want to experience this promise, then you must first, it says here, there's something we need to do. We need to first listen to Jesus' message. Now, listening, if you haven't picked up on this, listening is different and more advanced than hearing, right? We can hear a lot of noises simultaneously, can't we? And yet, not all of them make sense. We hear them, but we're not really intently listening to them because other things are drowning them out. And in this, we need to understand that listening to God is more than sitting through a sermon. It's more than hearing words floating in the air. It's about processing them through your heart and your mind and your spirit. That's listening. That's listening. That's bigger than hearing. It's giving mental and spiritual consideration to what is being said. Jesus speaks, and He never speaks in folly or nonsense. This happens every once in a while, and I say every once in a while to me because it's pretty rare. But I've had times when people will tell me personally, what we do after the morning worship service is we go home, we set the dinner table, and while we're eating dinner, we discuss the sermon. I'm like, really? You remember it that long? And we talk about it. In other words, we're going to listen seriously. We're going to pay attention seriously. We're going to let it sink in seriously. Isn't that fantastic? I challenge you with that one. All right? Talk about it. Talk about what has God spoken. Now, Jesus said this, "My sheep listen to my voice." He said that they listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Wow. John 10:27. So we can hear Jesus' voice in various ways, and this is really a whole new sermon, but let me just give you a few insights to hearing God's voice. You can hear God's voice at Bible-believing churches. Yeah. Those who are looking at the Word of God and believing the Word of God and proclaiming the Word of God. Yeah, you can hear God speak. Yeah. You can hear it on Christian radio. You know, we're a blessed nation with Christian radio, with Christian speakers and teachers and songs that proclaim the Word of God. And we can hear it there. We can hear it from other people's lips, the experiences that they've had with God. We can hear Him speak through those things. We can hear it through the still, small voice of God speaking deep into our conscience and our hearts, as long as it aligns with this. Sometimes we can sense things and feel things just because we're tired, or because we've had a bad experience, or we had a bad taco the night before. If you feel like something's being spoken to you and it lines up with this, count it as God. Count it as God. Because all truth is revealed from the throne of God. Yeah. We can, most of all, hear God speak. His biggest voice, His loudest voice is right here. These God-ordained, God-inspired, God-driven words that have been given on for our benefit are His voice loud and clear. So let's don't come up with any excuses of God's not speaking to me. No, that's not true. We may not be listening, but He's speaking. In fact, we might even hear Him, but it's just noise until we intently look into His face, so to speak, and see Him speaking, see Him moving. So yeah, we need to be listeners. That's the first thing He said to do. Listen to my message. And then He says this. After you've heard it and you acknowledge it, believe it. Believe it. In other words, take ownership of it. Right? Now I tell people this. If you've come to church and some truth has been revealed to you, you leave this place responsible for what you're going to do with that truth. It's been given to you. God has spoken. Now you're responsible for it. And our responsibility is to believe. And true believing means that we are obedient and we take action upon it. That's the proof in the pudding of believing. I will take action upon it. I can say I believe in something, but if I don't believe in it enough to do something with it, then am I really a believer? When I truly believe in God, it leads me to a place where I trust in Him, I walk with Him, I choose His way over my way. Now, when we get saved, that's a term we've used down through the years. When we get saved, or we've had Christ come into our lives and has redeemed us by faith, sometimes people get scared. What is this going to mean to my lifestyle? Okay? Because there's some things I'm not real anxious to give up. And there's some things I'm not really anxious to take on. Well, then you better rethink it. Because God in Jesus Christ is a change agent. Now, if we're worrying about it, then we're not trusting Him. Hello? If we're worrying about what it's going to cost me, then we're not trusting Him. But don't worry about what changes are needed. God, in His own way, in His own time, in His own place, will bring redemption to our lifestyles. But He's more concerned about if you will love Him right now. Love is instant, but it's also progressive, just like grace. And I've been serving Him, I don't know how many years it's been now. I hate to think about it. All these years, and yet sometimes God still knocks on my door and says, this way that you've had for all these years, isn't it time to maybe step it up a notch? And I might say, yeah, but... But, and God says, isn't it time to become the better person, the better Christian, the better husband, the better father, the better preacher? Isn't it time to step it up a notch? And I'm thinking, well, haven't I already arrived? It's been like 40 years. And God says, no, we've got a little further to go. And then I begin to surrender to Him that area that I've been comfortable with. And then He says, see, didn't I know best? Didn't I tell you that, you know what, my grace is and my love is progressive. I'm going to take you even further than you knew you needed to go. Anyway, I got out of my notes again. So we believe, which translates into obedience and action. And you can have the promise. And once you embrace that promise of eternal life, let's take a little deeper at what that's gonna look like. It's when we can know that eternal life is my ever-present possession. You mean eternal life for me as a believer has already started? Yes. Yes. He has invaded my existence, and I've let him invade my existence, and he's begun the transformation. I am living in eternal life right now. Now, I know that you know, we're saying to ourselves that, well, this isn't heaven yet. This isn't the glory realm yet. There's something better to come. I know that. This is preschool. This is where I'm learning some things about living for God. This is where I'm learning to believe, to trust, to serve. Where I have this intellectual belief that God is present, but it's not everything. I know that. But it's already a part of me. Here's what it says in John 5:24. I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. Not will have, not can be in hopes of, but have. That's a present tense. The eternal life has already begun in me, and it will be forever, and it's just going to get better as I go. So live like you're living eternal life. Right? It's now. It's now. Life in Christ has already become a reality in me. I haven't seen him in his fullness yet. But I will. I will. How do I know I will? Because I'm already in motion. I'm already in. So the greatness is yet to come. Here's what Ephesians 2:6 says. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ. Wait a minute, I wasn't there. I wasn't on the cross with him. Oh yeah? You were very much on the cross with him. We're just now becoming aware of it. He said he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So according to this passage, we are presently seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms. Here's what that means. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're already written there by faith and reception of Jesus Christ. My name's already on the family list. It's not gonna be. It is on the family list. It means that it's our present reality that even though we might not see the heavenly realms with our eyes, we already possess it. We have a place at the table. Isn't it cool when you go to banquets that you've done RSVP for? Because a lot of times at a banquet, you go in and you're wondering where you're going to sit, how you're going to fit in, all of this. And you know what? You find this little placard thing with your name on it at the seat. And you go, okay, I don't have to decide where I'm sit. I don't have to wonder. There's my spot. And it kind of feels good because you see your name written in calligraphy. You know, on that little placard card, and you feel like somebody knows I'm here. Somebody was actually expecting me. Somebody prepared for me. We have right now, by faith, a place at the banquet table. Does that excite you? And what a banquet it's going to be. Ooh. The banquet table of the Lamb of God is being prepared. The name is written in, and Christ is working on that spot for us right now. Oh, we are citizens of heaven, and we're not going to be. We are citizens of heaven by faith and trust in Christ, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for Him to return as our Savior, says Paul to the Philippians. And in the completing of this promise, here's what John the Revelator wrote down. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. All these things are gone forever. I'm in. These momentary troubles that I have right now and that you have right now are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us on that day. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I shall look upon His face and see the wonder of His grace. When He takes me by the hand and calls me to the promised land, what a day, what a glorious day that would be. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? God's got this. I am a citizen of heaven. And in that, I need to recognize not only that my life is, eternal life is right now and forever, but I can also realize that all condemnation is gone. I can't comprehend that. I feel like I should pay something. Yeah? In fact, I feel like I really can't afford heaven. I'm not rich enough. I haven't got enough to get in. All condemnation has been eradicated by the blood of Jesus Christ. John 5:24 again. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death to life. Death has no grip on me. If I die before I see you next week, I want you to understand this. Death has no grip on me. And you can say the same if you trust in Jesus Christ. Christ has eradicated that. He has set me free. I have nothing to fear. And so one of the things that people seem to do when they are trying to make a decision about living for Christ is they become afraid. They're dealing with fear. The fear of judgment. And sometimes even Christians who have chosen to believe are afraid of judgment day. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because when we come up to the front of the line on judgment day and Jesus looks at us, He's going to say, I know you. Come on in. You're clean. I took care of that. I took care of that. We have nothing to fear. Now, we need to have a holy fear of the presence of God, because He's more than we can fathom. But we should not be afraid of where we stand if we're in Christ. I have no fear. because redemption has already been declared on my behalf on the cross of Calvary. What a lovely mystery. Romans 8, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Well, I'm telling you, the news doesn't get any better than this. Right? If you're looking for something about life that's better than this, you're not going to find it. It's a wonderful promise. It's a priceless promise. The only question left is this: does the promise of eternal life belong to you? Does it belong to me? And if you're unsure, why don't we get that settled? Right? If you're unsure about where you're at, if you're going to be a recipient of this promise or not, we can take care of that right now. Jesus is calling. Come unto me. Come on. Come unto me. Should we take care of that? Why not? Let's bow our heads. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. I'm a sinner. Jesus, thank you for conquering death itself. And Jesus, thank you for inviting me to be in the family. I need you. I need you because I have no other hope. So, Jesus, I accept your gift right now. Your gift of salvation. By faith, I receive it. I accept it. I choose to embrace it. And I invite you in to save me from my sins and to give me eternal life. And I pray that you will help this old vessel that's broken and beaten to be revived by your presence in me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It is done. You can smile now. Christ, by your faith, has moved in, if that was your prayer. And guess what? He promises you eternal life. When does it start? Right now. I love it. I love it. Whew. Let's start living like believers, shall we? Let's just believe. Karen, go ahead and run that last song, and it's a little different, but make this our testimony today. Okay?
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe. We believe. This broken generation, when all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. Father, we believe in Jesus. Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. Weakness and temptations,
new life. We believe in the crucifixion.